It just automatically stops. 9 million of them came.
It sounds like it, but my grandmother had 9 children. 2 of them died, and all the rest of them came out here.
So 7 of them came to came to Long Beach and Signal Hill.
What if my uncle is still living, 87? He's there in Long Beach. My mother's brother, her youngest brother. Mom would be 91 today if she does it. My grandmother was 100 when she died. I'll never make it.
What year were you born?
1918. I got a copy of the Los Angeles Times right there on the day of my birth. Right there on the board.
What was the date?
May the 9th, 1918.
So you were in the Army. Did you come back to visit in Long Beach while you were in the Army, or?
I spent almost 10 years overseas. I didn't get back very often. Then I did some courier work.
And then when did you come back here to live?
I think 1960.
And how have things changed by then?
Well, back in 1960, things were still pretty good. But, and you know, the businessmen downtown, of course, like it the way it is now. But for me, I wouldn't go down there if you paid me to go down there. I'd rather go out to Lakewood and go, instead of going downtown to that mall.
When you came back in 1960, was Kid Mexico still there?
Yeah.
Could you tell about Kid Mexico?
Well, what do you want to know?
Well,
he started out, as far as I can remember, down at Anaheim and Daisy, and that big, there's a big building down there. Well, it's kind of a low building, but it was an auditorium. And he sponsored amateur fights. If you won, you got $3, and if you lost, you got $1, all that sort of thing. He was one heck of a promoter. And then when he finally built this place up here, he had movie stars coming there.
Orange and 23rd.
Orange and 23rd. And his house at Cervitas in 23. Well, that was something else, too. And then, of course, he had the restaurant on the corner. Then there were some houses, little apartments, all the way down 23rd Street to the corner, of Cervitas. Then next to that would be the Million Dollar Cafe. And it had a different name at one time. Next to that, a bowling alley in that two-story house where that lady got murdered not very long ago. And then up the street was the Tropics. And then that little small bar that I can't think of the name of it now.
And were they Kid Mexico's also?
No, those up there weren't. They belonged to Joe Fox. And he was a... He ran a burlesque house up at the bomb shelter.
Where was it located?
On, it was called... It wasn't called Lakewood Boulevard then. It was called, who cares?
Roseville.
No. It was right out there by the Spring and Lakewood Boulevard. A lot of action out there.
And what was Kid Mexico's role in the life of Signal Hill?
Well, I've heard a lot of people says if we could get a hold of him fast enough, we'd shoot him. I liked him. I didn't know him awfully well, but I liked him. And he was colorful. But I guess he's only dead now. He owned a house right around the corner, right here on Cerritos, right around the corner. There's some little statues. The guys haven't taken them down. Some little statues on the pedestal in front of the house. And he had a small museum in there in his garage, in his house too. Had kids over for parties.
What finally brought about his downfall?
I really don't know. You know where the Prospector is? At 7th and Juan Aparo? Those are the people that owned the place up here. It's his relatives. They sold out up here and went down to Prospect.
Yeah, but how's the court? How's this block over there changed since he's
been? Everything's changed. This was a real jumping, going joint up here.
What does that mean?
Action. It was a lot of life up here.
You know, a lot of people were attracted to
it. Oh, yeah, a lot of it. Real lot.
Was there like traffic congestion?
No. And come to think of it, you know, there's no parking places. But there was still always a crowd. And there isn't any park. There were never any parking places. But they always had good business. Good bargains all day long, up till 2 o'clock in the morning.
And what happened at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Closed you up, and you went right back down the street to this place and walked in. Paid them, I forget what it was to get in. I think $5 or something like that. And that was expensive then. Brought your own bottle. They served setups and charged you for the setups. It cost more than the booze you bought.
And it was just an after-hours place to hang out? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was after Kid Mexico sold that place. He didn't own it then.
And did you know anything about his involvement in Signal Hill politics?
No. I have never been involved too much in politics up here. Things going so smooth in this town, I don't want to fool with them. I could vote. I can pick up that telephone and call the police department and tell them I need a policeman, and he'll be here so fast you can't hardly get your phone hung up. You try that in Long Beach. I want to talk to somebody in Signal Hill. I got a whole listing laying right in front of my telephone in there. Pick up the phone and call them. And I get the person I'm looking for. You want to talk to the mayor? You can talk to the mayor. Want to call Bedelia? Bang, you got her. No problem. And you get an answer. You try that down there in the Mays and Warrens of Long Beach. I wouldn't live anyplace else. I'd love it up there.
Is there any difference between the kind of service you get now and when you first came back?
No, it's always been this way. Do you live in Long Beach? You have the sheriff policing you up there. You like that?
I don't know yet. Too soon to tell.
They brought the sheriffs in here one time. And they got a little too rough for them. They got them right back out of here. I don't know whether our policemen went into the sheriff's department or what. But anyway, those sheriffs come in here, and they were rough. And you never heard so many people grousing and screaming and hollering in all your life. And we didn't have a whole bunch of crooks up here, believe me. We even got a beautiful deal now. We have a black gentleman right behind me right here who started a few months back. Starting in his garage, starting himself a little karate club. And all the kids in the neighborhood's in there. And is teaching them karate and everything. And finally, the police department down in Long Beach found out about it, and they come up and talk to him, and now the police department comes up on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I mean, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5 o'clock, pick all the kids up, and I guess Rich goes down in his own car, and they go to 16th and California, Martin Luther King, I guess. And they have a great big place where they still teach. They go off to different places and have matches. I'm so proud of that guy. And this is a nice neighborhood. It's mixed, beautiful people.
When did your family come to ride around here?
From 1938, I think from 38, somewhere on there, up until about 1950, one block away, 2250 Lewis, big two-story house. My sister lived here. And then she moved with her husband up on 23rd Street, and my folks moved into here. And we bought the house. I spent money. They used their own money. We bought it. It's an old one, too. Shouldn't talk too much about it. It's liable to fall down.
No, it doesn't look like it, and it's been through a lot. Do you know when it was built?
1914.
So it's been through quite a bit.
Oh,
probably not going to fall down.
Well, every time a truck rolls by, though, the doors will be hard to open. Then the next truck comes by, and you can open them easily. Squeaks. Have a cellar. Had a cesspool out in the back. You know it's old when it's got a cesspool.
Well, not anymore.
Oh, it hasn't got it anymore. No, it filled that in quite a few years ago.
Were you influenced around here by the train tracks and the PE tracks?
Oh, I loved them. I wish they were back. I think it's stupid to put all that building and everything in that thing. What they should have done is either put another train going all the way through. I guess they couldn't because it's all built up down there now. But at one time, there was a train that actually went clear to Newport Balboa. And instead of doing, if they couldn't have done that, why didn't they just widen just a little bit and make it a direct line for cars? Maybe in the morning, one way to Willow to catch the new blue line. And at nighttime, one way the other way for them to get back. See how simple that would be?
That's sounds good to me.
Yeah, it was too simple. And nobody's going to make any money off of that. But they're building houses and light factories all the way down. One thing about it, though, both part of Signal Hill, haul off and put any road that comes into Signal Hill that you could possibly put a bridge into, we put a wall up. All the way down it. So with those guys building those factories and everything down there, if they're going to have an egress or an out, an exit, they're going to have to go that way. They can't come this way.
What did you do in the Army after you got to be sergeant?
Well, it seems I spent a lot of time getting shot at.
Is that World War II?
World War II in Korea. But I was in the engineers. And then about 8 or 9 months into World War II, I got smart. I was in the 2nd Armored Division. And I joined the 2nd Armored Division Military Police. And from then on, I was in the military police all during the rest of the war. But the trouble is, it was a combat military police, and I had a lieutenant that was a ding-a-ling. He was a first-rated infantryman. And he kept putting us in places where there was no traffic, but there was always enemy fire. I was thinking very seriously about taking a shot at him. We got out of it all right.
And what did you do when the war was over?
I came back to the United States, stayed out 3 months, and said, forget it, and re-enlisted and went right back to Germany. Stayed from 1946 until 1951, and volunteered.
As a military policeman?
Yeah, in 709th Military Police in Frankfurt, Germany. And then I volunteered for duty in Korea. I came home, had a 10-day delay en route from New York City, which came me a real fast pen. I went right up to Pier 91 in Seattle, and bang, went to Korea. And that done it. That was the end of my Army career. I got tired of being cold and dirty and not getting good food anymore. And besides that, I had my choice of assignments when I got back to the States. And I picked Fort Ord, and they sent me to Deseret Chemical Depot in Utah. And I resigned. I was on the death of this then, so I just resigned.
And what did you do when you got out?
Oh, I went to work for a guy in Washington, D.C. for about a year, taking train trips. Plane trips, as far as I can go with that.
And what did you do after that?
Oh, I drove a taxi.
Where?
In Long Beach. And then I was a junk man for a while. You know what a junk man is? I don't mean a guy that takes junk.
Yeah.
You could get a license in Long Beach back in those days. Yeah. And I had a pretty good sized truck. A license to pick up junk on the streets. And you knew where they put the trash out every single day, both here, Lakewood, and Belfar. You made a very good living at it. And just by separating it, you know where to sell it and where not to sell it. Where to buy it, how much to pay for it. Had a pretty good living in it. And then I was also in the active reserve. So now I have a pension from the Army. Now I'm old, decrepit.
What do you do for recreation?
Oh, this. Take care of my cousin. My cousin lives with me. He's 72, and he's been paralyzed since birth. And so I take care of him. my mother made me promise that he would not go at all, but he ain't. Besides that, he's fun. Got a great sense of humor. Can't talk. Well, I can understand him, but and he's crippled in both arms. But he's a great kid. I got a joke over there that tickles at me every time I see it. I got a Tom Hennessy's column in a paper about this Irishman comes from over from Ireland with his wife, and they're taking a bus tour, and they get to Runnymede, just right outside of London there. And the bus driver says, "Right here, the Magna Carta was signed." And O'Toole says, "When was this?" He says, 12:15. O'Toole looks at his watch, he says, "Damn, we missed it by 15 minutes.
Okay. What else should I ask you about Signal Hill? What else do you remember then?
Well, you know, one time there was that big building over there with the club, like we still call it the club, right across the street over there, was built in 1915. And it was a country club at one time. It has an enormous front room. Then there was no other houses around here except this one. And the court wasn't built until 1922. There was just nothing up here except this house has been here since 1914. And the two houses across the street, they've been redone and everything. But that was the only thing that was up here. And this was something else. Well, I got the pictures over there. I don't really know, young'un.
Who operated the country club, or who came there?
You know, I never did find out. I imagine it was a bunch of petroleum people. I would imagine so.
And do you know who built this house in 1914?
This one here? Not the slightest idea. Can't find out. We check records and everything else. We can't find out who it was. Some company, I guess.
Why do you think it was a company?
Because there's no name on it.
It was originally a house?
Oh, it's a house. It was originally a house. It's been built for this. You know, there's things in this place here. See those white up on those windows there, that white up to where I painted, they got polka dots on it. That's glass, about beveled glass. Mm-hmm. And over here on this, at the sliding door there.
Yeah.
And it's got beveled glass on the top of that.
All these cabins around here, that way on the top of the Winchester are all built in glass. So, and the wood in the wall here are only 3x2s. They're not 2x4s.
It's old.
It's old. It's another one. I was born in 19.
1980. So, is there anything else I should ask you about?
I don't know.
Tell me, again, the address you lived on Sunrise.
Ooh!
No, it seems like you said it.
I'll tell you what, when you leave here, you can tell.
Okay.
Little Burnett, go right across California, and then come down that alleyway thing there. And if you go around the corner, there's an apartment building. And then right past that apartment building is a little small house. It's stucco now. It was framed then.
Okay.
Take a look at that address. Okay. California, from that, from Burnett, all the way up was a refinery. And from California over to where our house was, that's where the thing went to. Then on this side of the street, from California to the alley, and all the way up the street within about 400 feet of Willow was one man's place. He collected bottles. He had a whole bunch of rabbits and chickens, but he had storage places out here with nothing but these mason jars. Millions of them. I don't know. And when he finally died, they hired me to haul him up to the glass factory.
Did you know his name?
No, I can't remember his name. I was waiting. Why he done? But another guy right across the street here, this lot over here was one time was all cactus, and then there's a little slope that goes down, There was a little tiny house there. There was an eccentric preacher used to live in there. He collected different colored bottles. And when I say eccentric, I mean eccentric. I says, how's the preaching? Not too good. What's the size of your flock? Me. He lives up at Palm Springs now.
How did he live?
I don't know. I never could figure it out. Unless he had a private hole going into the Chase Manhattan Bank or something. I don't know how the devil he lived.
Where were most of the houses around here filled up?
Well, I guess they said, a court over there, 1922, I think it was, right next door. We can still refer to it as Al Grossjean's. He was the guy that owned it. A little bit later than that. And then the house next to them, not the apartment building, but the house up next to them, that's been there a long time. And a couple up the street there have been here quite a while. And a couple right up here. This one, what next door's house, has been here a long time, too. What was I saying a while ago when it was only 3 years? The house next door. And my brother lives in the next house. And the mayor used to live up in the next, and old Tommy Tomlin. Oh, that was something.
Which mayor?
His name was Tommy Tomlin. Long time ago. He had a little trouble with his wife once in a while. She used to sit out the front porch and yell at people. He was a nice fellow.
Did all your brothers and sisters end up right around here?
Yeah. Right here.
And what kind of jobs did they have?
Well, my brother was a truck driver, but the one that lives here, he's one still alive. And my my youngest brother was an air conditioning expert. And my sister was married.
Did any of them go to the military? Well, not your sister.
Yeah,
my little brother.
My little brother did. Yeah, he spent two, three years up there, I think.
But he didn't go on into the army, or did he?
No. I was the only one there. The rest of them got smart. You gotta be kidding. Oh, he died. My little brother went in the Navy. But when he got down to, I think it was San Diego, they started giving him shots and stuff like this, and he was just allergic to them. From one of the shots, I don't know which one. They put him on the next train home. I wrote him a letter and asked him, how do you swing that? He says, smart.
But all your family, what about the next generation of your family? Did they stay around here too?
No, my daughter is living in Washington. And Shirley's kid, well, one of them right here. And her ex-husband lives in North Long Beach. And her other son lives up in North Long Beach.
When did you get married?
Me? First time? 1937. Now that was when my daughter was born, 1938.
Here, or?
Here in Long Beach, at a private maternity home.
How did you meet your wife?
At Long Beach Skating Palace. I was working down there. You know where that is?
Which one?
Third. That's Third and Alamitas.
Okay.
And the hippodrome was at 7.
Right.
Or about 60. And I always liked the palace better. It was more intimate and everything. And I lived upstairs there for a while.
Oh. What other kind of jobs did you have when you were growing up?
Oh, I worked in the skating rink out at the end of Silver Spray Pier. A gal named Willa Davis on that. I used to be good friends with Reckless Ross. Remember him?
I rode
the motorcycle, and I got pictures of the place.
I've heard Al Brown describe him.
He was a nut. He had one eye. I asked him one time back in 1937, 36 or 37, somewhere. That was when he's out on the Silver Spray. He was originally right at the end of the Cyclone Racer, the Jackrabbit Racer then. I said, "How come you only got one eye?" And he says, "I was drunk, and I was shaving, and I he-cupped and cut his eyeball." Can you imagine? And I read the paper in Robeson's column one time here about a few years back that he'd seen Reckless Ross still working on the pike down there. Well, that man had to be 900 years old. I hardly think so, but...
Did you work at other skating rinks, or did you have other kinds
of... I never worked in the hippodrome. Boy, I worked in practically every ride and everything down there. I did not ride along because it didn't pay anything. I worked in the scooter, merry-go-round, cyclone, loose with the merry-go-round. I got the original picture of the cedar. I even tried to get a job in the Majestic, but they told me I couldn't dance good enough. Right over there.
Yeah.
And the Majestic, well, that picture of the Majestic is right above it. It's the same building. And it was a skating rink, too, in 1901. This is sometime.
And you did you do these jobs during the summer, or?
Well, when I was not going to school, mostly summer, because I had to go to school. My mother was mean about that. She threatened to use an axe on me one time. Handle, that is. Well, can you think of anything else?
No. One of the guys who went there was?
Sam Peake. And his relatives owned Mocktail's mortuary.
How did you get along with the boys your age?
Fine.
In town when you were going to the military academy?
Well, I mean, you never got a chance to get out too much.
Oh, okay. What about in the summer?
In the summer, most of us, we would hang around mostly with our own bunch, you know, little close bunch of kids. The ones that I knew when we lived at 14th and Obispo, they were friends all the way through life until they all cut up and died on me.
But they didn't think it was strange that you went to the military academy? Or?
No, they called me unlucky. I thought I was very lucky. Later.
Yeah.
The best thing ever happened to me. I loved it. I didn't know I loved it then, but now I'm thinking, you know, at retrospect. And
yeah, because I guess I've talked to people who thought the people who were at the military academy were kind of stuck up.
I don't think you had time. They kept every single minute busy. Except for what leisure time you had, but that was the idea of instilling that get you young.